So beginning in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, let us read verses 1 through 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb, and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. Verse 1 tells us that the author of the book is Solomon. The name means peaceable. His reign and his character were both peaceable. David, whose life was full of trouble, wrote a book of devotion, the Psalms. Solomon, who lived quietly, wrote a book of instruction. We should use a time of peace to receive instruction for how to live in a time of trouble. Solomon was the son of David. It was an honor to be related to the great King David. God even granted special favor to Solomon because of David his father. Solomon had the training and the prayers of David his father. Psalm 72:1 says, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son." This, no doubt, was a major factor in his wisdom and ability. Christ is often called the son of David, and in this respect, Solomon was a type of Christ. He was also a type of Christ in that he opened his mouth in parables or proverbs. Solomon was king of Israel. He was a king, but it was not beneath him to be an instructor to the ignorant and a teacher of babes. He was king of Israel, the people of God, among whom he learned wisdom and to whom he taught wisdom. All the earth sought wisdom from Solomon, which was above all other men's wisdom. In 1 Kings 4, verse 30, "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men." 1 Kings 4, verse 34, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth, which had heard his wisdom." 1 Kings 10, 24, "And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." So Solomon was famous for short, pithy, instructive sayings. Pithy means forceful, having meaning and substance. His speech had weight in it, and the conclusions were surprising and edifying. In Colossians 4, verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So this is the kind of speech we should actually be having today. But all of the many weighty sayings of Solomon were not borrowed from others, but came from the extraordinary wisdom given to him by God. This wisdom led Solomon to wealth, honor, and fame. Solomon ruled Israel from 971 to 931 B.C., a total of 40 years. Verse 2 says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." In verses 2 through 4, we have the purpose of the book of Proverbs. These proverbs were written for the use and benefit of all who in every age and place will live according to these truths. So it says to know wisdom and instruction. The word wisdom means the ability to use knowledge aright, according to Proverbs 15:2. This word wisdom is used in this book alone 37 times. It is an important word in the Bible. It means the right use of knowledge. Many brilliant people have knowledge, yet they lack wisdom. They do not know how to use their knowledge correctly. To have wisdom, in God's eyes, is to be able to live the godly life as God intended man to live. As we apply this word wisdom to present day, it means Jesus Christ for the believer. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So Christ is our wisdom today. Everything that is wise, everything that is according to good knowledge, is also compatible with Christ and his teachings. Wisdom is mentioned first in this passage, and to know true wisdom is to know Jesus Christ. Paul's desire was that I may know him, Philippians 3, verse 10. Just as Solomon asked God for wisdom, Paul desired to know him, which also means to know wisdom. We need to have the same desire as Paul. When we're using our knowledge correctly, we have wisdom, and we also know Christ. This wisdom is necessary for us to be mature in the eyes of God. To have wisdom is to have the truth. Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby the lying wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So to be able to speak the truth in love is to be able to grow up or to be mature. But before one can speak the truth in love, one must have wisdom or the ability to use knowledge correctly. To have knowledge is to have the facts, but to be able to properly apply that knowledge is to have wisdom. We're further told in the second verse of Proverbs 1 to know wisdom. The word to know means to acknowledge, to be aware of, discern, regard, respect, or to have. So this is really a command to have knowledge. In other words, get the facts and learn how to properly apply them. That's what he's saying here. This is the ability to live the godly life as God intended humans to do. But verse 2 further says, to know wisdom and instruction. The word instruction, as used here, means chastisement, correction, or discipline. Discipline is a state of order maintained by training or control. Chastise means to punish by physical means. This statement is addressed to the young man. Infancy to adolescence would be included here. So it is right and proper for children, boys and girls, to receive chastisement, correction, or discipline. This is where training and control brings about a state of order in the person's life. This will involve some degree of physical punishment. This is not permission to physically abuse anyone. This is not any kind of bodily injury. This is not done so intensely that it mental or physical injury is done, but it's only done to the extent that the child's attention is directed to the authority of the parent. This not only brings about due respect for the authority of the parent, but ultimately the proper respect for other authority, including God and nation. God and nation also have the authority to chastise, correct, or to discipline. We read in Romans 13, verses 3 through 4, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Here we see that God has authorized governments to discipline its citizens, to obey the laws of the government. But God also disciplines his children to follow the laws of his government too. In Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if it be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The word for instruction is found 26 times in the book of Proverbs. And sometimes this same Hebrew word is translated as chasten. In Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or quickly. Here to chasten actually means to give instruction. Therefore, discipline is a way of teaching. That is a forgotten truth today. Our modern day society is very much out of step with the Word of God. When dealing with a son, you discipline him because that is a part of his instruction. You're to chasten him. As you chasten and discipline him, you're actually teaching him. Your purpose is not just to punish him. When you give him the well-deserved spat in the appropriate place, it is not to punish him, but to teach him by discipline. You're not doing it out of anger. You're not doing any harm or damage to him at all. So instruction, as used here, is to teach by discipline. And we see that God, our Heavenly Father, is very good at teaching that way. Sometimes we learn the most when he takes us to the woodshed. These lessons given to us by God are very impressive lessons indeed. And God means us no harm. He's doing it to give us instruction. That concludes our lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends. It is our privilege at this time to continue a study in the book of Proverbs. In our last lesson, we've gotten into the second verse of the first chapter. The second verse says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And we learned that wisdom is simply the ability to apply the facts.